Welcome to Sharing the Word. I'm your host, Dr. Driver. In my last episode, we talked about the book of James chapter 1, and we talked about James as the brother, half-brother of Jesus, and we also went through why we should count it all joy when we go through trials. Today, we're going to go through loving God under trials. Now, I have to say, I'm going to say this with sincerity, boldness, and direct. Love God no matter what you're going through. Sometimes you think that God's not there. I'm telling you, He is. And when you're able to go through these trials, just remember, in a trial, it's like a storm. I want you to hear this. When there's a trial, no matter if it's a loved one that passed away, or use the job experience again because of whatever reason, you can just say that to most people traumatically, a trial is I got fired, or a trial is I got laid off. But in your trial, this is important, temptation is right there. Temptation likes to go, hoo-hoo, you're going through some difficult times. Hey, how about walking away from God? Just think about the garden. Eve was deceived. Adam sinned. Because Adam was told, don't touch. Don't eat from that fruit. Don't eat from that tree. Do not go over there. You can't have that one, but you can have everything else. So here comes Satan. And Satan is going to come in there. And he's going to tempt you. See, Satan tempts. God, listen to me, God tests. Satan tempts, God does test. So when Satan sees you going through a difficult trial, he's going to throw temptation at you. Now, I can't give too many scenarios, but I do know, you know what those temptations could be, what your weaknesses are. If you made a commitment and a vow to God to lose weight, and you're going through a difficult time in your life because you lost somebody, you grieve, that's a test, right? Now you're tempted to eat, to have comfort food. That's temptation. Don't give in to temptation. Resist it. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Amen. So my friends, in reading James chapter 1, starting in verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." So right there, I'm going to put an exclamation point and say, God does not tempt you. Your flesh does. Satan does. Your flesh does. Satan does. Never God. God allows testing so that he will test your faith. Amen? So don't say, God tempted me. That's a sin. But he goes on and he says in verse 13, reading it again, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I'm tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." The term tempted, when we're tempted, temptation is an act to entice the flesh to be in defiance or disobedience towards God's word. So when you know a testing is in your life because it's a trial, temptation is now screaming at you, telling you to go against it or maybe blame God. So when you're tempted in your trial, don't blame God. Yes, you can conceive in your mind. You can conceive in your mind that the trial that you're going through just happened. God's the author of life. You can say that, well, he's God, he's on the throne, he could stop this trial, he could stop this temptation, he could stop all of this. Yes, but everything is a choice. So when you're tested by God, temptation's going to walk around and try to see, will you hear? Will you do this? Will you do that? Now, friends, come on. This is not hard. Because why would Satan come to you when you're going through a difficult time? Just read when Jesus went through the wilderness in Matthew chapters 4 and 5. Look at what Satan did to Jesus. He tempted him to change a rock into bread. And what did Jesus say? He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So my friends, you can't blame God for everything. You can't. That's wrong. I get it. He's God. He's on the throne. But he allows the nature of man to continue to make choices. And those choices have to be, I'm going to count it all joy. I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart and not lean on my own understanding. But I'm going to acknowledge him in all my ways so that I can get through it. Amen? Proverbs 3. So when I look at James chapter 1, and know that my temptation that is in my life is my own sin nature being enticed. Or I could say Satan is going, hello, what about this? So your sin nature, its desires are enticed. And when sin nature finally says, hey, just do this, that's going against the trial or maybe the schisms that are going on between temptation and trials. Those things are fighting against each other. I get that. Maybe they're just in opposition because a trial is a trial. Jesus is in the wilderness and he's doing good in the wilderness, and here comes his final days, if you will, and here comes the devil with temptation. Bow to me, I'll give you the world. Oh, give me a break, Satan. Get behind me. That's Jesus. Get behind me. Just get behind me. But you gotta say, God, help me get through this trial, because here comes temptation. Get in the word then. Pray, my friends. Sing songs, my friends. But don't let your flesh, don't let the things of the flesh get you through that trial to sin against God. And don't blame God for that sin that you're doing. Amen? So then he goes on in verse 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So let there be light. He's the Father of light. Amen. Jesus is the light of the world. So he is the Father of lights, the sun, the moon, the stars, the heavenly beings. God's nature is good. God's nature is light. And he never changes. He's the same today, forever. He's immutable. He never changes. So I want you to really study God's nature through scripture. Just go through the Genesis book all the way through Revelation. I know that's reading the whole Bible, but you can see the nature of God. He's holy. He's holy. He's holy. And God is good. God is light. God is good. God is light. So God never changes his mind. He doesn't say, I'm going to do this. Never mind. I'll do it now this way. He's not a man that would change his mind. He's not a man that would lie to you. You're going through a trial. You're going to be tested in those trials. Then you're going to have temptation come around the corner. But know that God is faithful. Know that God is perfect. He gives every perfect gift. Because he's perfect, every gift will be perfect. Anything he gives you is perfect because he's perfect. Anything he gives you is holy because he's holy. Because God will never give you something that man will give you to get you through your testing, to get you through your trial, to get you to overcome temptation. And God gives you the ability. He gives you the strength to overcome temptation. That is why I will count it all joy when I go through trials. Amen? So I want you to really look at why the trials are needed. So, in closing, in James chapter 1, I'm going to look at verse 19 here. It says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to be angry, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Now, why is James bringing this up? Because in a trial, you're going to get losing some faith. It happens. Only way to get more faith is to ask God for faith. The only way to get through the trial is to get in the Word. My friends, get in the Word. Read the Word. Go to Psalms. Go to Proverbs. Read the Word. It will help you get through your trial. Put on praise worship music and sing to the Lord. This will help you get through your trials. I'm giving you the remedy of how to get through these trials. Get in the Word. Read it. Sing songs to God. Always bathe everything in prayer, but get into the Word. Read Psalms. Read Proverbs. Read the Bible. And sing songs. Put on your favorite Christian worship tape and just worship the Lord. Enter the gates with thanksgiving and the courts with praise. My friends, you are going to go through trials. Get into the systematic approach to dealing with a trial. Prayer, reading the Word, and worship. Three things, just like the Trinity. Count it all joy when you go through trials. It's the testing of your faith. Now I'm going to tell you this. Get into the trial. Stay away from sin, which will be temptation coming at you, but stay in prayer, reading the Word, and worship, and you will have victory over the devil. Amen? That's a formula that has been successful for me in my walk in dealing with trials. So when James says in verse 19, "So then, my friends, my beloved friends, brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to be angry, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." The focus of our walk with God is to be exactly, let me close with this, is to be exactly like Jesus. I want to hear the Holy Spirit tell me how to deal with it. I want to be slow at my response so I don't sound foolish. And I don't want to have wrath, which is human anger. I'd rather have righteous anger. So don't let human anger get in the way of righteous anger. And if you're going to go through these trials, don't let anger in your mouth get you more into trouble. Now you have produced a bigger problem than what God was bringing you through to test you. Okay? That's temptation as well, when you give into the flesh. So James is telling us not to let anything in the trial affect your flesh. So that's why I'm going to be quick to listen, to hear what God is saying, either through people, through the Holy Spirit. And I am going to be slow to speak, because I got to make sure my words that come out of my mouth are pleasing to the Lord. And I got to be very careful that I don't let my flesh, which would be getting angry, to cause me to sin even more. Because the wrath of man, the anger of man, is not the righteousness of God. 1 John 1 really gives me a lot to think about as I look at James chapter 1 as well. So I'm just going to give you that as an extra reading, you know, if you just kind of, you know, look at 1 John 1. If I walk in the light as he's in the light, I have fellowship with him, and the blood of Jesus cleanses me from sin. And if I have sinned, he's faithful and just to forgive me of all my sins and purify me from all my unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1, verse 7 through 9. Just read that as well. I'm just telling you, James and 1 John 1, partners in this, being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because anger does not work out the righteousness of God. Have righteous anger, spiritual anger over sin. You must be angry about sin. But don't be angry emotionally over things of this world, because it's going to lead you to sin. And that is not the righteousness of God. Let's say a prayer, and we can continue on this study of the book of James. Father God, I thank you for your word. May everyone that hears your word today put into practice that we will all be tested. We will all go through trials and tribulation. But I pray, Father, as Jesus was victorious unto death, by defeating death, hell, and the grave, we have that same victory because Christ conquered death. So I pray, O Lord my God, give us all the power to call out your name and ask for more wisdom as we go through these trials. And I declare and decree the faith of God in my life to get me through these trials, to have the victory through Christ Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. Amen. Thanks for listening to Sharing the Word. Join me again as we discuss Bible topics that will help you live a victorious life through Jesus Christ.